Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Spontaneous Remarks, the podcast where you never know what's going to be said or done. You just got to know what we're going to be talking about. Let's find out what 80s nostalgic nerdiness is going to do for us today. Here we go. All right, today's episode is going to be about that mustachioed plumber Super Mario. Woo! So let's get it going right now on Spontaneous Remarks. Bum, 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 la 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 la. Ooh, doo, 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 doo. Wow. It's a me, Mario. That's right. This episode is brought to you by none other than Super Mario himself. That is correct. It's not brought to you by him. I was just playing. But anyway, we're going to be talking about Super Mario Brothers. Super Mario is one of the most iconic and influential video game franchises in history, created by Nintendo. It was spearheaded by Shigeru Miyamoto, a legendary game designer, and was first introduced to the world in 1985 with the release of Super Mario Bros. For the NES, which we actually talked about a couple episodes ago. But the early beginnings, the character of Mario actually first appeared in the arcade game Donkey Kong in 1981. I actually played that on Atari growing up, but it was also the arcade game as well. Originally, he was named Jumpman with the simple task of, well, not simple necessarily, but rescuing a damsel in distress, Pauline, from one giant ape named Donkey Kong. Now, the evolution to Super Mario. So Mario evolved from carpenter to a plumber and gained his iconic red and blue attire in the subsequent games like Donkey Kong Jr. and Mario Brothers. Now, Super Mario Brothers was the breakout moment in 1985, which revolutionized the gaming industry. It was a side-scrolling platformer, and it introduced players to the Mushroom Kingdom and Mario's quest to rescue Princess Toadstool, later known as Peach, or Princess Peach, from Bowser, who was the main antagonist of the video game. Now, Super Mario 1 had 8 levels that you could play through. Each one had 4 sub-levels, I guess you could call it. 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, and 1-4. And the 4th level of each world was the castle world, or the castle level. So the first level was just a simple, going through the little bricked area. The second world was either underground. Sometimes it was a water world where you had to go under the water and swim through the stage, or you were underground in a sewer pipe, like in the sewer. And then the third level, it was usually real similar to the first level, but a little harder. And then you had the castle level, which had fire pits, the little fire wheels, and Bowser shooting flames out, with you having to either run under him and hit the switch to lower the bridge where he falls in the lava, or if you were lucky enough to get through the stage with the fire flower, you could hit him with your firepower and then end up killing him after a short time. And then in later stages, he also would throw hammers at you, which made him a little bit harder to defeat. And then you were met with a toad. A toad would say, sorry, or thank you so much, Mario, but our princess is in another castle. So then you went on to the next world. There were 8 different worlds. And it was not, if you played through today, from start to finish with no breaks, it's only about, I would probably say about a 30-minute to an hour game, depending on how good you were. I've seen some people play it pretty quickly. But, back in the day when you had no knowledge of anything but learning the stage, it's a lot like Geometry Dash, where you had to continue to play the level and remember where the bad guys were, what to do to get over the obstacles, remember where the holes were, the pits were. You had to remember all that. So learning it back then, it took quite a while to get through the game because you'd think you were doing good and you'd forget that there was a bad guy around the corner, or not necessarily around the corner, but coming up. And then you would hear the boom, dim, 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 where you died. But anyway, Super Mario 1 was a really fun game. It's followed by Super Mario 2. Super Mario 2 came out in 1988. And it was where you could actually play as four different characters. You could play as Mario, his brother Luigi, Toad, and Princess. And each one had something special that they did. Mario was the fat. There were some levels where you could dig. Well, in this game, you could pick up things by pressing B on the controller. You could pick up plants and throw them at enemies. You could dig in sand. And so Mario was, like, really fast at picking things up. He could dig real fast. He could pick things up real fast. Luigi, he jumped really high, but he was very hard to control because his legs would go crazy. I don't remember exactly what Toad would do. I think he was just fast. He would run fast, if I remember right. And then Princess Peach, or Princess Toadstool at the time, you could jump with her, and she would float a short space if you held down A as you jumped. So I always played as Princess because she was the easiest one to control, and you could float over things and you know, just kind of glide across the air, and it was pretty easy to handle her. She was the one I used the most. Super Mario Brothers 3 came out in 1990, and this was, again, a different concept. So you had different maps that you could go over. Each world had the different levels, but different from Super Mario 1 and 2, Super Mario 3 had multiple levels in the stage. So they had anywhere from you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7 plus the castle. But I think I remember there were some stages that were really long and had up to 10 to 15 different levels that you had to go through. A couple of stages or worlds had different paths that you could take as well. And each one had some kind of a theme to it. So World 1 was just the regular world. World 2 was the desert. World 3 was Water World. World 4 was, I think, the Giant World. I don't remember what 5 was. 6 was... Well, there was an Ice World. 7 was a Pipe World. And then 8 was Bowser's World, which was full of lava and stuff. 5 must have been Sky World, where there was actually the level on the ground, and then there was one part where you took a pipe to the cloud world. And that had new power-ups and things as well. Super Mario 1, you just had the Fire Flower and the Star. Super Mario 2, you could get extra mushrooms to get extra health, little health nuggets or whatever you want to call them. And then Super Mario 3, you could get the mushroom, the Firefly, the Fire Flower, a leaf that turned you into a raccoon-type character, which you could hit things with your tail and you could fly. You had Tanuki Mario, which was another raccoon-style suit you could turn into a statue. And they had extra power-ups, too. You could find the whistle that could carry you to different worlds. You had different power-ups that you could actually carry from stage to stage. There was a little sub-bar with mini-games here and there where you could win power-ups, or there was a toad house that had different chests in it, and you could pick one and it would give you a power-up for that level. So Super Mario 3 was I think probably one of the most popular ones. In 1990, the Super NES came out with Super Mario World, and this was another game that had multiple worlds, multiple stages. It was even larger. And each world in this was, or each place on the map was some kind of, I think it was like Donut Land and Vanilla Cliffs or something like that. It had something to do with food. You could actually go through the game once, and then once you got to a certain area, you could come out and go through the game again with the map looking completely different, different color scheme and everything. 1996 saw Super Mario 64 on the Nintendo 64, which was a entirely new concept, which was a 3D. You know, the Super Mario 64 was now revolutionizing gaming by doing 3D, or not necessarily 3D, but it was 360. So you could see all directions, and it wasn't no longer side-scrolling. You could go pretty much sort of an open world, but not really go every direction. You could spin around. It was a very different type of gaming. Super Mario 64 was another one of the best games, I think, that Super Mario come out with. Or not Super Mario, but Nintendo. 2002, and with the GameCube, saw Super Mario Sunshine, which was another great game. And it was all about being on the Isle of Delfino. They were, I believe, on vacation or something, and there was an evil Mario going around painting, spray-painting everything, and they thought it was the real Mario, so they put him in prison, and then his punishment was he had to clean up the island where all the paint was. So he was given a water gun backpack that he had to spray all the stuff off, and that was your main weapon throughout the game. And then on the Wii, there was two games, Super Mario Galaxy in 2007 and Super Mario Galaxy 2 in 2010. And those two games were pretty interesting because they took place on spherical worlds to where it was just a whole different concept when it come to running around, because you were not on anything linear. You were on a round surface most of the time, so it was very sometimes very difficult to control and very difficult to kind of see where the paths were. I remember there was one stage I played all day long one Saturday, if I remember right, and I just never could figure out how to beat it. It was a time trial stage. You had to have a certain amount of time because you died if you didn't do it correctly. And when I finally figured it out, I wanted to slap myself because it wasn't as hard as it looked. I just couldn't My mind couldn't wrap around the layout of that level, so I couldn't ever figure it out. And then there was Super Mario 3D Land on the Nintendo 3DS, Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U in 2011 and 2013, respectively, and then Super Mario Odyssey on the Switch in 2017, and this is the most recent Mario game that I've completed, and it was pretty fun. You had your hat was actually, you were in a... you had to use a ship to fly around the globe, and the hat, you had to collect power moons, and the power moons would power the ship, and you had to, much like Super Mario 64, the more stars that you got opened more levels, the more moons that you got powered the ship to where you could travel farther. And then your hat was actually your little companion, and you could throw it on to different obstacles, different objects, and we'd be able to control those things. You could throw it on a dinosaur in one level, and you turned into the dinosaur, and you could break things with your strength. You could throw it onto one of the power wires and turn into the little electricity thing to go to different places. It was pretty fun. I really enjoyed that. It was a really good game. Very long, very tedious, and just a lot of stuff to collect. And much like the Lego games, you had to, some levels you had to go back and complete multiple times to get every single thing you could collect, so it was a little hard. And then there were spinoffs and sub-series, Mario Kart, Mario Party, which had a whole series of board game like play, where you're on board games, you had to collect stars and go through different things. But they also had a lot of mini games on there as well. It was pretty fun. Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, Mario Strikers, which was baseball. Paper Mario, which was very interesting. It was 2D, back to the 2D platform, but you were a piece of paper, Mario. So you were a 2D, not just the 2D side-scrolling, but you were a 2D object. So you handled it just like you would paper. It was very, very interesting. There was the Mario and Luigi series that was out in 2003, Mario vs. Donkey Kong in 2004, and then one of the best games probably in this list is Mario RPG for the Super Nintendo, and that was Legend of the Seven Stars, and it was a role-playing game with level-ups, different hit points, magic points, different characters. You could make different parties, and it was such a good game. I've recently actually almost completed it on the so they had a Super Mario All-Stars, and they have a Super Mario 3D All-Stars that had come out for the Switch, and the Super Mario 3D All-Stars was Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario what was the other one? Galaxy, I believe. And then they also remade it, the Super Mario RPG as well. So I had to get it. I wanted it for Christmas, I think, or my birthday or something. So, and then other notable appearances for Mario was Donkey Kong, Dr. Mario, where you had to, it was a Tetris-like game to where you had to move around the little viruses and or the medicine to beat the viruses. You had to color code to coordinate them. Yoshi's Island, there was Luigi's Mansion, Super Smash Brothers, which was a lot like Street Fighter, you know, those fighting games where you actually could control different Nintendo characters, Mario being one of them. They had Link, Samus Aran from Metroid, and then also Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, which was kind of weird because Mario and Sonic are competing video game characters. So, you know, Mario was Nintendo, Sonic was Sega. So, and then there was Super Mario Run that was on the iOS or Android, and Dr. Mario, both for mobile. And then those remakes and re-release I talked about was Super Mario All-Stars, which was Super Mario 1, 2, and 3, plus the Lost Levels, which was Super Mario 2 in Japan. They were all on Super Nintendo, and they had imagine music and level color schemes plus different graphics, Super Nintendo graphics. And then there was a Super Mario 64 for the DS, which was an enhanced remake of Super Mario 64, and then the new Super Mario Brothers series, which was on the DS, which gave the games another a whole list of different power-ups. You could be Cat Mario, which was on the new the Super Mario Brothers movie that came out not too long ago. Cat Mario, which was in a cat suit with all cat-like powers. And then there's been more games I know that I've just have not covered, but this list represents just a selection of key titles featuring Super Mario. And the franchise continues to evolve with new releases and innovative gameplay. Which is, it's just a fun way to, you know, showcase Mario's enduring popularity and Nintendo's commitment to creating memorable gaming experiences. Mario is probably one of the most recognizable of any of the characters in gaming that I know of. Now, not only did they have the video games, but in 1989, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show come out, and it was a live-action slash cartoon hybrid series. The live-action segments were kind of goofy, filled with, you know, sound effects, similar to like Three Stooges style. Featured Lou Albano, which was a wrestler I didn't know at the time, but he was a wrestler. As Mario, and Danny Wells was an actor. He played Luigi in live-action segments where they interacted with a lot of guest stars. And, you know, it was just kind of, you know, it was just a funny little segment before the cartoon. A lot of the different characters I know that were on that show, I know he played Winston Zeddemore from the Ghostbusters. What's his name? Gosh, I see his face. Ernie Hudson, he was on the show as a Ghostbuster on a special episode. And then there was other, every week there was a different guest star, but I remember him as being one of them. So the cartoon focused on the adventures of Mario, Luigi, Princess Toadstool, and Toad as they battled King Koopa across various worlds. And then every Friday they had a cartoon of The Legend of Zelda, which was what I looked forward to every Friday, was the cartoon of Link and Princess Zelda. trying to, you know, escape or protect Hyrule from Ganon. In 1990, there were The Adventures of Super Mario Bros. 3, which was animated series directly based on Super Mario 3. And so Mario, Luigi, Princess Toadstool, and Toad combat Bowser and his children, the Koopalings. They escaped the Mushroom Kingdom and were wreaking havoc in the real world. And then in 1991, there was a Super Mario World cartoon, which was all about the Super Mario World video game, which had Mario, Luigi, Princess Toad, and Yoshi as they explored Dinosaur Land. And there was all kinds of different little Easter eggs from the video game. And, you know, Yoshi was prominently featured as the new main character since that's what Super Mario World was that introduced Yoshi in Super Mario World. And then in 2023, the first animated Super Mario Brothers movie, which wasn't a cartoon, but it was a, you know, animated feature film based on the Mario franchise, was actually really good. Jack Black was Bowser. Mario and Luigi were played by Chris Pratt and Charlie Day. And Anna Taylor-Joy was Princess Peach. It was just a great movie. I thought it was really good. Again, a lot of Easter eggs from the movie, plus a lot of little hidden things that were kind of laughable. There was one part where Mario was trying to learn something. I don't remember exactly what part in the movie it was. He was doing the, like, going through the level, and he would die and then show up again, and he would have to do it over and over and keep practicing, because that's exactly how we used to do growing up, was keep going through the game until we got it right. Last but definitely least, this was probably the worst adaptation to Mario, was the Mario Brothers movie that Dennis Hopper played Bowser, which I have never seen it, but I've heard it is the worst movie of all time. Bob Hoskins played Mario, and John Leguizamo played Luigi. And I never got around to seeing it, but Seth Rogen said it was the absolutely worst movie of all time. So that was probably the lowest part, one of the lowest parts in Mario history. That might have been the first video game movie adaptation. I don't remember, because I know that there was a Street Fighter movie out about the same time in the 90s. But sometimes it's hard to remake the video games. I want them to be as close to the game as possible if we're going to remake a game. For instance, Resident Evil was I was so excited when it came out, but it introduced a new character named Alice, and she was not in the video game at all. And so the movie was so different from the video game franchise. They were okay, but, I mean, come on, guys. Let the nerds, for crying out loud, make the movies so we can at least let people enjoy them like they're supposed to be enjoyed. But anyway, so another notable thing to talk about with Mario is Charles Martinet. Now, he's the actor most famously known for voicing Mario. He's been the voice of Mario since the mid-90s, and he's also voiced several other characters in the Mario franchise, including Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi. And so the debut for Martinet, when he first voiced Mario, was in 1995 in Mario's Fundamentals video game, educational game, but gained widespread recognition in the landmark game Super Mario 64. And that's where, when you turn the game on, he'd say, "It's me, Mario! Let's go!" And so he was doing all the voices throughout the game, and he just became such a signature voice. He was kind of a cheerful, high-pitched voice. And Martinet, you know, he continued to voice Mario over two decades. He was in Mario 64, Sunshine, Galaxy, Odyssey, many entries with Mario Kart and Super Smash Brothers. And plus, like I said, he played Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi in the, I believe, in the Mario Party games. Which, when it come to the new movie coming out and Chris Pratt did his voice, there was a lot of kind of backlash with why they picked Chris Pratt to do Mario's voice, because you know, Chris Pratt does not really sound like Mario. Now, he did have that Brooklyn accent. I think he tried throwing that in there because in the cartoons originally, Mario was from Brooklyn, New York. And there was even a little part where it showed the Super Mario Brothers Super Show theme as their cartoon for the plumbing business. But the interesting thing in the movie, Charles Martinet was actually playing the voice of Mario and Luigi's father in the movie. So that was interesting as well. But yeah, the Charles Martinet's voice work has become so synonymous with Mario. He's contributed significantly to the character's personality and charm. And so, I mean, if you've ever heard, you know, if you've ever played Mario, you've heard his voice, you're familiar with it. That's what, you know, Mario is. Throughout the 90s, that's what we heard when we played Mario. So, Mario Brothers has been such a fun time throughout my childhood. I remember my sister had put Super Mario Brothers 3 on what's called layaway. Back in the 80s or 89, I think is when it came out. And I remember going to pick it up that day. And I think she had a friend that worked in the layaway, and I remember going back to the back. They let me go back to the back and get it out of the little layaway cubby hole. But man, I had such a fun time growing up with video games like Super Mario Brothers. You can learn some good hand-eye coordination when you're trying to jump over a Goomba and a Koopa Troopa at the same time. But anyway, well, that's it for this episode of Spontaneous Remarks, guys. Look out for King Koopa, and we'll catch you on the flip-flop.